All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and we will begin reading in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God, and we just pray that you'd help us to learn something in this short time that we have this afternoon, to build upon what we've already learned, and Lord, to make a difference. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there is something that always needs to be said when it comes to the Christian life, and it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. We are to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. We're told, the Lord Jesus told us, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We're told a lot of these different things. We are supposed to be the ones that walk in the wisdom of the ages, in the wisdom of God. All right? We're not supposed to be wise in our own conceits. We're supposed to be wise in the ways of the Lord. And before that, he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To be circumspect means to be in your right trail, in the right circle, if you will, in the right sphere of things. Sometimes we get somewhere where we don't need to be. Growing up, a lot of times you got in trouble because you were in the wrong place. You weren't the place you were supposed to be, right? Same thing spiritually. You get yourself in trouble. And he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Does anybody deny that we live in an evil time? That the days are evil? Now, if we honestly believe that, then why wouldn't we be redeeming the time? Why wouldn't we be making most of the time we have? We know the days are evil, so why don't we redeem the time? Make full use of it. Make full use of of the ministry, of all the things that God wants us to do. See, sometimes half-truths are the enemy of the truth. Sometimes only having part of the truth. Oh, the days are evil. But the reality is we're supposed to redeem the time. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're supposed to walk as wise, not be unwise. So now it's defined for us. What is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding what God's will is. Understanding what God's will is for mankind. Understanding what God's will is for this church. Understanding what God's will is for you individually. Don't be unwise. All right? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. That, in a nutshell, is wisdom. I mean, that's just, all I'm doing is taking the context of this and reading it in plain English. We're told that we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Of course, the Bible says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So if we act and live like there's no God, we're acting like a fool, aren't we? So then we have that simple picture there of we're supposed to be as wise, we're supposed to redeem the time because we know the days are evil. Not just whine about the days being evil, but make, use some wisdom about what to do. And then we're told not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So wisdom is defined for us. If you reject the will of God, you're rejecting wisdom. You're being foolish. Because if you reject the will of God, then obviously you're acting like a fool that says there is no God. Right? In your heart. So there we have the picture there, and we have that understanding. And then he says, in verse 18, he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." All right? So, he says, first of all, to see that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people. So there's a command. And then he says, redeeming, he tells us why, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then he says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we're supposed to understand God's will. And then finally he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, because that's excess. There's excess therein. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, listen to me very carefully. If there is anything that the devil has tried to confuse, it is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And that is why we have so many churches that teach so many different things about the Holy Spirit. We even got to the point where some of them, all they talk about is the Holy Spirit. They don't even talk about the Lord Jesus anymore. And that's patently and clearly unscriptural, because Jesus said of the Spirit that he would not speak of himself. All right? He would glorify Jesus. And a Spirit-filled church will glorify Jesus, both in word and deed, by the way. Not just giving lip service. All right? So, but herein is a command to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm not going much further than that today, this afternoon. There's a whole lot of things that I could say. I could walk you through steps of being, quote, filled with the Spirit and things like that, and things that the Bible says. But I want to focus on this right now, first of all, and I want you to understand that this is just as much a command to be filled with the Spirit, is just as much a command as it is not to be drunk with wine. You know, many good commentators and preachers have pointed out that there's a similarity here. You're under the control, under the influence of something. Okay? You know, in Mississippi, they call it driving while intoxicated. In Texas, they call it driving under the influence. Right? No, that's a backward. I got it backwards. Texas is DWI, and here's DUI. So I got it all backwards. But, you know, they have different ideas about that. And I got my head turned around there. But the point remains that, you know, there's this idea of you're driving under the influence of something. Or you're dry, or you're intoxicated with something. Okay? So both of them have a thing. When somebody becomes intoxicated, they become consumed with it. It takes control. Whether you talk about, you know, there are some things that people will say that something that, you know, they had a smell and it was intoxicating. It was just, that's all you could think about, right? It's what was on your mind. And I've heard people talk about a type of music being intoxicating. It's like you just get all caught up in it, you know. And of course, liquor intoxicates, dope intoxicates, and you know, it's an amazing thing. We've got this so-called medical marijuana in Mississippi now and throughout the country, and it's sweeping the country, and they're a backdoor way to legalize it. But, you know, the funny thing about it is all these people that get this medical marijuana, it's not like taking an aspirin. Boy, they're going to do it every day. It becomes part of their life. They literally live life intoxicated. They're not trying to take something out of it. So that's the one thing about this medical marijuana. It's a big lie about this deal. You know, there are better ways, you know, than, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think if you're going to go medical marijuana, they'll take your driver's license away. That's just mine. If we're going to do this, we're going to legalize people being liquored up and doped up and everything like that, take the driver's license away from them. I mean, think about it. If you told somebody that they had to drink a couple glasses of bourbon every day and you prescribed that as medicine, wouldn't you think there'd be a clamor for people to be taking those folks' driver's licenses away from them? But there's an intoxication there. There's an influence. And you know, one thing I know about people that smoke dope and people that become reliant on smoking dope is they also get to the point where they don't care anything but about that. Now, I'm not talking about the so-called hard drugs like the heroin and the fentanyl and the OxyContin and all that type of stuff. I do know of a woman who was addicted to painkillers, and she spent an awful lot of her time running from doctor to doctor to try to get prescriptions for her. And funny thing is, they kept obliging her. I've seen the havoc that causes in families because somebody's not worried about things they ought to be worried about. They're worried about getting their next little fix and making sure they have a good supply and they have what they need. I'm just being honest with you. This is just a reality. We're not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. You know what that tells me? It's a command. God never gives a command that He doesn't give the ability. God doesn't command us to do what is impossible for us. You have a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit, and you have people out there running around seeking an experience. And you have people that live in the light of a single experience that they've had. You have some people that are seeking that experience, and they want that experience. They want to speak in tongues. They want to do this. And if you haven't done this, they're taught that you don't have the Holy Ghost. But the Bible clearly says that when a person gets saved, after that, the same book of Ephesians chapter 1 says, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So he said, in whom you also trusted. All right, let's go back to verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. What did they do? They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they got saved, right? In whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So after they heard the gospel, they trusted Christ. And when they, in whom also afterward that you believed, after they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's black and white, straight, plain, simple as can be. We're told not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. We're told not to be drunkards. Drunkenness is a sin. But we're told to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Now, if God commanded us to be filled, then it's within our power by the grace of God to obey. Right? If God says, tell the truth, lie not one to another. Right? See, you put off the old man and his deeds. Don't lie. Tell the truth. That means God's commanding us to tell the truth, and implied in that commandment as a Christian is the ability to do what? Tell the truth. The grace of God enables us to tell the truth. No different here. The grace of God and that which God has provided to salvation enables us to be filled with the Spirit. So the question is, what do we do with that? I mean, there are other things here that tell us things that help us to be filled with the Spirit. Said, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to all for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So having a truly thankful heart to God is a sign of being Spirit-filled. Having a focus on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, that focus on individually from your heart, worshiping and praising the Lord and being thankful to Him is a sign of being Spirit-filled. And it's a command. It's not a special thing only for the few and the anointed. It's for every believer. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Be under the influence of the Spirit. Be under the control of the Spirit. Now, how do we do that? Now, you've heard me preach this many times, but it bears repeating. The Spirit of God, what does He do? He guides us into all what? Truth, right? And Jesus said in John chapter 17, He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? So the Spirit guides us into, leads us into all truth, guides us into all truth. He takes what Jesus gives and gives it, shows it unto us. He brings to remembrance all things whatsoever the Lord has told us. That's the Word of God, isn't it? So the Spirit leads by the Word of God. We get filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Control of being Spirit-filled means your focus will be upon the Word of God. It will be the rule of your life. It will be the means by which you make decisions. You got money in front of you, and here you have your income or whatever you want to call it, the money you have. The being filled with the Spirit will mean that the Word of God will have sway and influence and control over how that money is spent or used. The Word of God, a Spirit-filled person, the Word of God is the primary deciding factor about what they do and how they do it. A person with that attitude who's thankful to God and rejoicing and praising the Lord and singing to the Lord, that's a sign of a Spirit-filled heart. And a Spirit-filled Christian. And it's something that we have to do. It's within our power. And I just have one purpose in this entire final message for today. This is the final message before Wednesday night, right? When we meet again. And my goal is just to try to get you and make you realize that you have a responsibility, and God has given you a command to be filled with the Spirit. Notice there is no special time frame here. There's not be filled with the Spirit on Sunday and Wednesday night. It's not be filled with the Spirit. It's just be filled with the Spirit. That should be our regular state of being. That's what we're supposed to do. And once again, it's a command, so there's powers to do it. There are a lot of different things, obviously, that go into that. Faith goes into that. Believing God's Word. But we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's always amazed me how easily we get out of that, especially when we get knowledge. You know, knowledge is a good thing. But it's not the end. Knowledge is actually the beginning. Fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom, right? Knowledge of the holy is understanding. Knowledge of the Lord. That would show me that a person that's spirit-filled would be somebody who's continually learning about the Lord. When's the last time you learned something new about the Lord Jesus Christ? When's the last time you were reminded of something that you'd learned before? I'll go so far to say, as a spirit-filled person doesn't just get his rebuke and exhortation and those things from the pulpit. Do you know I'm just one source? It would behoove you to cut out the middleman and get something directly from God, from your own study of the Word. I delight to be able to share things, and I hope I can share things that are a blessing to you, that challenge you, that exhort you, that, and if necessary, rebuke you and reprove you. You know, that is my goal, my hope as a preacher. I want to fulfill that because that's a command to me. I want to obey that command, but I can't obey that command if I don't obey this command. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And if God commanded it, then He's provided everything necessary to fulfill it. And we've got to grab hold of it that way. You know, one of the biggest things, one of the greatest, or the primary factor in being obedient to any command is the desire to obey. The desire to obey. And I think this one is a problem because people are too worried about what am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to cut out? What am I going to have to change? We need to get past that and just say, what do I need to do to obey? Just tell me what I need to do. You know, it's an amazing thing. You see a lot of things in the Bible and you see pictures into human nature. And you go all the way into the book of Genesis again. And you remember Jacob and his children, right? You remember when Jacob came out and in the Genesis chapter 34, it said, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob and communed with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field. When they heard it, the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade therein, and get your possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had filed Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that will reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, and that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughters unto you, and we'll take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you hearken not unto us, if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. Now the story goes on that they Shechem and his father Hamor, they convinced the men of the land to consent to that. So they all were circumcised, and while they were recovering, the sons of Jacob came in there and killed them all because of what they did. And Jacob had to flee that area, and God protected them as they left. But I want you to look at this young man, Shechem. He'd done a wicked thing, right? He took her and he laid with her. He forced himself upon her. But he loved her. We don't know all the transaction, everything that took place. We don't get the words. We don't get the discussion. But something happened where he loved Dinah. And he was willing to give any amount that they wanted, so he could have her as his wife. And it said here that, it said in verse 18, and their words pleased Hamor, Shechem, Hamor, and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the things, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. Now that's an amazing thing to say about a man who was a rapist, that he was more honorable. It shows you how wicked these people were. But notice something. Notice he's got his heart set on something. And he's given a command. This is what you have to do to get what you want. And boy, he deferred not to do it, right? You see that? He had that desire to just... I mean, this is an extreme example. And I'm giving you an extreme example because you're looking at somebody here who had made a decision. This was what he wanted. And therefore, he was going to do whatever it took. He had made up his mind already to obey any request that they made of him. Like I said, the biggest step, the first step and biggest step in obeying a command such as this is simply the genuine desire to obey. Because you have respect unto the recompense of the reward. It'll be worth it. To Shechem, anything was worth it for him to go through just so he could have this girl whom he loved as his wife. Our hearts should be such that we would desire to obey God to accomplish His commands, and particularly this one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll just close out today. Father, thank you for the Scriptures. Lord, I pray you'd help me to have conveyed the necessary words to get the point across. Lord, I don't know the heart of any person here, but I do know that there need to be Spirit-filled Christians in this world today. And we who've trusted Christ as our Savior are all supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to and let us see things clearly, that we might desire that which is good, that we might be wise. Lord, we just pray you'd help us and above all, desire that open our eyes and let us see things clearly, that we might desire to be filled with the Spirit above all else. Thank you, Father. Bless your people as we adjourn this service today. Lord, help us to go out and be Spirit-filled children of the Most High God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.